to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat.
Hello, it's Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, but it's just Courtney this time, except I have a wonderful guest, Chris Barksdale Burns.
Hi, Courtney.
I know everybody's probably, you know, missing Corey and his hello, 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 and all of the things that make him so wonderful and special. I am also missing him. He is in Disneyland right now, having a wonderful trip with his family.
Disneyland.
Yes, exactly. He's never been to land.
Sounds busy.
Well, sure, but I mean, it's Disney.
It's Disney. Right? Exactly.
It's Disney. And Corey's never been to land. He's been to World a lot, a significant amount. We're all going to World in October when the show comes down. But we have Chris here to talk about Jesus Christ Superstar.
Very excited. I'm nervous, but once Kyle and I talked on the phone for an hour, we started to have the same idea about, instead of like over dancing, to do vignettes. So it's going to make it way easier.
Fair enough.
Was going into my head and what I have on paper. Mm-hmm. Now the paper show will be my outline.
Sure.
But now I know the people I'm working with and the bodies I have and the things we have to do during which scene. So now it's going to be much easier.
Yes. Both our choreographer and is a cast member. Principal cast members. We are very excited about this production coming up. But let's go back. I was trying to think of this last night because I was like, okay, Corey's first question is always, how the hell did you get to the couch? And I was trying to figure out how the fuck we met. But yeah, I don't. Like, it's been so long that I don't know if I know. Because I don't think it was, I feel like I knew you before MGMA was here for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I know I did. Because when you were MGMA, I had to drop something off at Anne's house when you were having your portrait day. And I knew you then.
Mm-hmm. Before then, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So I have no idea is the answer.
That's my, whenever somebody meets me in Kansas City, that's their home. Like, I've known you for like 20 years. Where do we meet? I'm like,
Well, that's been my curse with a lot of people on this, that have been on this podcast, because I'm like, yeah, girl, we know each other. I don't know. Hello.
Exactly. And where?
Or I've been in the same room with you 800 times, but I've never actually officially met you.
That's happened to me a lot too. I've seen you perform. Well, how I got to the couch, let's see. I was a dancer here at Kansas City Ballet for 21 years, and I did the first national road show of Will Rogers Follies, and I was in the Broadway cast of Thoroughly Modern Millie, and so I've been working steadily since I was literally 15 years old, but it, you know, like 9 years of training to get me there, or 7 or 8 years of training, something more like that, because I started dancing with tap and gymnastics with no real ballet, and then I was like, eh, and then gymnastics took over, and they were like, you're great in the air, not so much on the floor, so maybe you should take a ballet class and get your coordination, which my parents were like, one more thing we may have to pay for. We're already paying for these ballet lessons, and then I got a ballet scholarship, and then they were like, okay. Then they were like, now we got to pay for gymnastics too, so you got to pick one. So I picked ballet, and then I trained here at Kansas City Ballet School with Todd Bolander and Diana Adams and Flo Klinklin and Vicky Vadine and so many other great teachers, Stanley Zimpakos. And then I went to the School of American Ballet, and my first summer there was 1983, before it became New York. Before it became New York, it was New York back then. It was like, you gotta have, you know, your knife in your bag, and you gotta carry your bag real close to in front of you on walking down the street. That New York.
Sure. The New York of Pose, if you will.
Exactly.
That's like the story of your life.
Exactly.
Do you have a hammer in your bag?
Exactly. 1983 to 88, I was there. And then I would go to different summer courses like Chicago City Ballet School, Pacific Northwest Ballet School, Royal Ballet School of London. Just go over different summer courses for 7 or 8 weeks and work on getting all your technique. So you never took time off. It was a solid year of dancing. You can afford to. And then I'd grown up singing and playing the trumpet at my church, and then one of my first trumpet teachers was Pops McFadden, Lonnie McFadden's father. Mm-hmm. So I grew up playing trumpet for a little while and sang all the time. And I originally started going to college to get a degree in political science.
Okay. <laughs> This is great new information to me.
And that lasted about 2 years. Good grades, though. Good grades. And sure. I was like, okay, it's too hard because I'm, you know, not here. We used to tour an awful lot. And then I would leave back and forth when I was under an agency. And I ended up switching my major to vocal music, which was way easier. I mean, it's like the only thing I really regretted, not regretted, but I had to take opera history, and then you start taking music theory and music theory too, and you're like, really?
Mm-hmm. That's the reason Alex doesn't have his official, he has 9/10 of a master's degree, because if you're listening, it's all your fault, Felicia. because he was like, I cannot take the 2 theater history classes I have to take. She's going to kick my ass, and I just know it. He's not the most brilliant at writing or reading or any of those things.
It's one of those things, like when everybody goes, today's political climate of free college and freedom. It's like, well, some people don't want to go to college. Some people have a...
That's true.
Work better with their hands, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, let's put them in trade school.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's... I had not, now, outside of playing trumpet, singing, dancing, choreographing, teaching, staging, outside of all of those things, well, 2 of those things are the same thing, but outside of all those things, I have no real life skills. I can answer the phone real well.
No.
And in retail, I work well until my feet start hurting, which is about 2.5 hours into the day.
Okay, so you can dance a whole Broadway show. But your feet hurt.
Just standing around.
Okay,
with,
fair.
With people asking me, do you have any more of these? Do you see any more of those? Am I supposed to come and find them for you? Take a walk around the store.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, yeah, I mean,
you know. And I was that way with waiting table. All right.
Oh, I was terrible at waiting tables.
I'm going to come back here one more time.
Yeah, I did that.
Stuff together.
One... I think for a 2-week period in Omaha before I did fall into retail. Because I feel like, you know, when you're like in high school, mm-hmm, you have like you either wait tables or you do retail. Mm-hmm. Like those are your 2. Or like you work in like a fast food place or something, you know, like
the mall.
Exactly. When yes. The mall in one way, shape or form. Maybe you work in the food court. Maybe you work in the store.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the food service industry was not for me. I have so much. I will say that because of it, I'm the greatest customer on the planet because I have so much respect for what they do. But I'm just like, nope, I was not in the market to be like, you want what now?
Exactly.
Order some shit off the menu. I don't.
Oh, man, we don't do that special. Mm-mm. You know what? It's an upcharge. It's an upcharge.
Uh-huh.
I can stand
cash
here,
on the table.
I can stand here and write it down.
Mm-hmm.
But are you sure you want that like that?
It's terrible. I literally did it for like 2 weeks and was like, nope, this is not mine. I'd rather be broke and hungry than do this job. It was terrible.
I loved all my little side jobs. I mean, like my side hustles when I was dancing. I joined the company August 8th, 1988. And I was 16 years old, so there wasn't a lot I can do. I mean, I started UMKC that winter semester, so I just turned 17. And I'd gone from being an apprentice at the beginning of the year to a Court Ballet member by the end of Nutcracker, when we used to do like 50 Nutcrackers a year between here and St. Louis, and your body was just torn into rags. But what happened right before I joined the company was the Robert Mapplethorpe exhibit.
Mm.
So when I joined the company, there were about 40 people in the company. And then when... the next year, there were only 26 of us, and we still did the work of 40 people. Just so it was like we got up. Class was at 9 o'clock, and back then we went from 9 to 4:30 because we had to finish for the school because we were at the Westport Allen Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like coming from St. Paul's, walking down the hill. From school and going to ballet class and everything. And then my same trajectory took me, because my first single apartment was on 45th and Main, which is now a parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was very funny that I would walk up the hill and walk down. It's like, I've been doing this all my life. It feels like, jeez. I have to find an easier way to get to this ballet studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then so you're a dancer, and then I would say that probably we got close during the time of MGMA.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one was the year after your hand down. Is that right? You handed down to Adria?
Yes.
Okay, so then Adria's hand down was here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first, so that would have been 15, is that right? 15, 14.
She was 14, yes.
She was 14, so then obviously that's, you know, a wonderful organization where all the formers are involved and things of that nature. And
yeah.
You did drag for one, like, you got into drag to win that competition and won it your first year, is that right?
Actually, I was doing, I did La Cage aux Folles at
Unicorn,
mm-hmm. Thank you. And Jeff Church directed it.
That's probably
Jessup.
Where we
yeah,
met then.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was back in, I want to say 2006 or uh-huh. 7, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And that following show that somebody said, hey, Jessica Dressler, who was uh-huh. Dorothy, said, hey, I'm starting a show of live singing drag queens. Would you want to be in? And I was like, I'm kind of hesitant. And so I didn't do it right away. And then the next year, I think 2009 or 10, I started, and we would do a show here and there, and I really mm-hmm. wasn't that invested. And then I started talking to my drag mother, China Collins, and mm-hmm. and Mocha Montrese, and I was like, okay, if I do this, I want to, you know, do pageants, because I used to help choreograph for those two mm-hmm. people, and Alexis Ching as well. And I was, I said, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it to win. And so I ran for the first time I ran for a title was Miss Kansas City, and I was like, well, if the experience is going to count. I have administrative experience from working with union stuff at the Kansas City Ballet, and mm-hmm. so I know how to do that. Plus, I've had several other jobs, so mm-hmm. Besides the arts. And so I ran for Miss Kansas City, and I won. And back then, I literally had 2 weeks to get ready. I think I won Miss Kansas City in March,
mm-hmm.
and 2.5 weeks later, I was down at Miss Missouri.
Yeah.
And I was semi-sort of ready. I had my evening gown came, and Mulan put it together very quickly, and it was beautiful. And I had to get some stuff ready for talent, but I took the same talent I did here, but now I had space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Miss Missouri, and, you know, I generally, I'm generally a good interviewer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, man, I couldn't get those words out. But I'm a good interviewer, and I started well in interview and did my talent in one day, and then I did solo talent the next day, and then you have a sort of night off where you go and watch performers, and
mm-hmm.
the next day we came back, and I was like, okay, now let's see what happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in the top 10 and then ended up winning, and then I got to Miss America with a different evening gown, same solo talent, same talent, different evening gown, different hair, and I was second alternate my first year at Miss Gay America. So,
mm-hmm.
and that was an experience. But my year as Miss Missouri was sort of rough, because it was just coming in on, you know, the board was coming in with their fresh,
yeah.
and there's maybe their second year of being the board and everything.
Sure.
So it was a learning curve for both of us.
Yeah.
Trying to promote and get new entertainers to come and compete, and get new facilitators and promoters
mm-hmm.
and things to help us out with that. And because, like I always say, the bigger part of the word show business is the word business.
Mm.
And so you, in order to keep the system going and growing, you have to find more people interested in the art of female impersonation and into helping sustain it by becoming a promoter with financially or
mm-hmm.
backing in any way they can. So that was fun for me to do.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
On the ground, you know, in heels, and it was
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I continued to entertain, and I went back to Miss America 3 more times, making the top 5 twice through again. So my competing days aren't over, I'm just resting.
Uh-huh. That's it's a grueling, I really had no concept of pageantry in general, mm-hmm. like, at all. That was just not something I was ever really exposed to. And then got most of my information from MGMA, which I think is a fairly, I mean, it's a standard pageant.
It's the second oldest Miss America pageant in the
history, country, right?
In the history of Miss America. It went Miss Arkansas, then Miss Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah.
Which is, you know, you think about it, you're like, Midwestern slash Southern states.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I remember being out when I was Miss Missouri, and I was out in California visiting some friends, and they were having Miss California back for the first time. The year that Pauju Monroe won, and they said Sally Sparkle didn't introduce me, and they're like, "Oh, Southern Queen, y'all are serious about drag." I was like, oh, I'm Kansas City, Missouri. Okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Those the pageants in Texas are.
Yeah.
Those queens are mean business. They got big hair.
Yeah.
I mean,
lots of stones, lots of dancers, mm-hmm. lots of, and that's what, like, when China was dancing and doing drag and things, we used to literally, and Lexus, we used to get into vans. I remember driving down to San Antonio in a van with Lexus Cheney. There was a fold-up table, her evening gown, and we were stoning it as we're driving down to San Antonio, Texas, to get ready for her to compete, and we're stoning in a moving vehicle. And we'd just go and do it, and they would, you know, pay for food and lodging, and we had a great time.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, you know, China. We'd get in the van and let's go down, and, you know, when I had time off to, I would choreograph it no matter what, but if I had time off, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very funny. I mean, driving in a van down in Dallas, with China and my friend Keelan, who was at the ballet. We're just having a good time, and that's what we used to do, and, you know, to help each other out and hang out. And now people are like, I will dance for you, but I need this and this amount of money. And I was like, but you're not even a professional dancer. These are friends helping friends. Let me give you some money on this side and pay you here. And you know, but when you come to me with an upfront budget of what you need, and,
yeah, it's a lot. It's there. Have you ever judged?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I have been asked to do that on multiple occasions now for some city prelims, and it's never worked in my schedule. I have been a bystander of the judging process this last year at MGMA. I was the tabulator, which is a very interesting. Like, being on that side of it is
crunching numbers really quickly.
Yes, well, and Jade has, like, she's some sort of savant with the Excel, the spreadsheet that I was working on, that I was just like, girl, I know how to make something, like, the sum, I know how to do that formula, but this is intense.
And like, how the top 10 went down to the top 5 in the winter, and...
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, though.
And it's done so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even on a national level, when you're at Miss America, you're like, oh my God, you know, you're standing back there, and people are entertaining, and they're doing the calculation, and people are roaming about, and then they say, okay, your top 5 are, and now we're going to ask the questions, and you're like, you know what, but, you know, it feels like you've been sitting around for hours, and you really haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so Chris, you joined our board, what has it been, 2 years ago now?
A year ago,
yes. Here at the Arts Asylum. So we're also in the midst of prepping for getting ready to start Superstar. We are also prepping for Ham Bingo in support of Superstar.
Yes.
Which is going to be super fun. So everybody mark your calendars to come out and join us on
Next Wednesday, the 21st.
21st.
At 7 o'clock.
Yes, at Hamburger Mary's. We're going to have some fun. We've got some amazing little prizes and a raffle basket and a 50-50 raffle and all kinds of fun stuff. So I believe that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will be there, along with a bunch of the cast from Jesus Christ Superstar, to kind of support and raise some funds for the show, and have just like a fun night playing drag queen bingo. I think Genoa is our bingo caller. So that'll be fun. I actually haven't seen her since all of the... I don't think I've seen her since MGMA. We sat together a lot. I mean, no, that can't be accurate. It might be right. I don't get out much. I'm an old lady now. I turned 40 on Monday. And so I was like very adult. I was like, we're going to get tattoos. We're going to go to IKEA. And we're going to come home and cook dinner. And have ice cream.
Exactly. Aaron started school. My husband will be teaching at the... It's out in North Kansas City. Park Hill.
Fun.
Park Hill.
Good.
He's teaching German this semester. Mm-hmm. He's the permanent sub for German this semester. So our schedules have been already missing one another. You know, mm-hmm. I get home just in time enough to, like, give him dinner, and we try to get him in bed by 9 o'clock, because mm-hmm. it's like school starts really early, but
he's got to drive.
It's always started, yeah, it's mm-hmm. always started really early, so.
That would be good. Is he excited about that?
He is. Good. He's very good at it, you know, but mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I have a class of, you know, smarter students, and I was like, of course you would. teaching a foreign language.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that is the way it goes. How long have you guys been married?
2008, so this is
11 years.
11 years. And we met in 2006, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and our anniversary's coming up, and I was like, well, honey, I'll be in rehearsal, but the following day we can go somewhere and do
mm-hmm.
something.
Yeah, we do have that. My 15th wedding anniversary, we have a show on the night of, and I'm like, well, that's fine. We'll just spend it with 30 of our closest friends, yeah. and hopefully a lot much larger audience than yeah. just that. Yeah. That's fun. I'm very excited. We start rehearsals almost
next Saturday.
Yeah, and yeah, it's. I feel as though we've been talking about this process for like 18 months.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Aaron.
It was never ending.
When we had people like who couldn't do it, and which was very sad for me, because you know you mm-hmm. saw them, you spent time with them during the workshop, and mm-hmm. you know them, some of them, and I was sad. I was like, oh, but we've been planning this for a year.
It's true. Yeah, it feels like.
What do you mean you can't yeah, do it?
I mean, the reality is, I made the call to Kyle the night that we closed Hedvig. So that was like February of mm-hmm. 2018. So it really has been mm-hmm. just an obscene amount of time that I'm just like, he arrives in 4 days, and I'm just like, just get here already!
Yeah.
I'm ready to start!
And you and Corey were like, awesome. What are you doing?
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been pretty exciting. I'm very ready for it. We have an amazing cast. Yeah, I think it's going to be incredible. We also have... Chris also is the head of our events committee, so we've got not only Ham Bingo, but then with Superstar, we'll have the opening and closing night parties.
Yeah, those are always fun. People yes. like to be to know that they came to the show and saw it first, and they were one of the among the first people, and they get to go and tell all their friends about it, mm-hmm. and then they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends,
exactly.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Come
mm-hmm.
on, Perel commercial. 1970s TV.
Oh, that's fun. So you have no other life skills than the, you know, dancing and all of the things that you're doing. But what do you for your day job? You're a dance teacher, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And I worked at our former restaurant, Californo's, and mm-hmm. worked at Hallmark for a little while. And wow, I mean, I still stage. That's a principal, which is teaching, but yeah, that's mm-hmm. a principal part of what I do for a living, is to go and stage other people's ballets, and mm-hmm. it's always fun until I realize that I'm not dancing anymore, and I've been lifting and jumping around like I know what I'm doing at this age, and then I can't get up out of the hotel bed the next morning.
Fair.
And I'm like, oh my God, why did you do this to me, Lord? Why? You know, like,
yeah.
I'm going to be late. My whole neck is swollen. It won't even move. And a woman I was staging with says, your neck can't be swollen. I was like, I can't move it from side to side. It just is not where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back and I got back to the studio and I had this thing wrapped around my neck and I'm trying to, you know, teach the class and I can't really move. And finally they said, go to the mall. And I thought, why would I go to the mall? And they're like, because they have those chairs where people massage right here.
Oh, yeah.
And as he's massaging, like, things are popping back there. And he's, then he would do something to pop. And like, oh, okay. But I love teaching, passing on stuff mm-hmm. like that, because what I like to tell students is it's the technique that's going to set you apart.
Yeah.
Because so many people want to get the easy job and they want to have it be fun and easy, and it's kind of not. You know, the thing that's going to sustain you sometimes is not always the talent, but the technique that you learned along the way.
Sure.
That, you know, how do you sing 8 shows a week? How do you dance 8 shows a week? What goes through your mind during 50 shows in Nutcracker? And it's the things that you do every day in class that sustain that your body and your voice. And so telling them that, yes, you're pretty, and yes, you're talented, but let's get this technique under, because you can go into an audition and it can be between you and somebody else, and then, well, this person can do, and this person has this background, as opposed to just being pretty and being talented.
Well, and I think people forget about the stamina of what it really takes to sustain doing a role. I mean, you know, and that's from community performances all the way up through, you know, professional Broadway theater. It's a lot. It's taxing as hell on your body and your mind.
And to recreate that every single night. Because, and you know, Mr. Boland used to say, you perform and treat 5,000 people the same way you do for five people.
Right.
Or vice versa. Five people the same way you do for 5,000. And it's somebody's first show. It's the first time somebody came to a theater. It's the first time somebody is watching you on stage. I mean, every time you go out there, it should be a different experience. Not that I would click on and be like, okay, here we go. I've done this before.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen out there.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of live theater. I mean, that's the difference between that and television, where they can edit.
Yeah.
You can't always edit. Sometimes you don't fly.
Yeah.
Alphaba.
Exactly. My favorite is on stage, because I've never done like a quote-unquote straight play, but what always happens to me is somehow in the midst of a show, I'll get the giggles.
Oh, no.
And then I can get rid of the giggles, but then by the time I've gotten rid of them, somebody else has them. So now I get them again, and then they start passing on, and you still got to keep going. And I was like, but see, the beauty of television is that they, okay, cut, we're going to stop, we're going to stop, we got to stop you, and let's get this all out. You're wasting time and money. Mm-hmm. But now we're good, 1,200 people out there. Now you got to make this happen no matter what. So, and that's always fun.
Oh, stage giggles. I sometimes get the giggles so cripplingly that I can't imagine how, like, trying to control myself on stage, which is why I'm not on stage for a myriad of other reasons, because I have plenty of life skills, none of which involve singing or dancing in any way, shape, or form, or the trumpet, or anything else.
Well, it's like even typing. I mean, I'm very good at typing, and in piano proficiency in college, I remember they were like, oh, you got a C in proficiency. That's like, because I only use one hand. So I'm used to playing with my right hand, and this left hand is just sort of moving, you know, as it needs
just
to.
Just trumpet motions are happening right now.
Exactly. Then you translate that to a piano, and you're like looking at the left hand like, okay.
That was always my problem with piano. My mother is a pianist, an amazing pianist, who that's what her degree is in, and she wanted that so badly for me, and I was forced into piano lessons, which I not only hated with a passion that consumed my soul, but I couldn't, my left hand literally could do either what my right hand was doing or nothing freely of its own.
It's like, this one's fine.
Right.
And this one's like,
hold on, what's going on? Yeah. It's totally worthless, this left hand of mine, if it's not doing the exact same motions. And I remember her, like, coming, I was probably like, I don't know, 12, and my mom just being like, went to my piano teacher, like, does she hate this, or is she really that terrible? And my teacher just being like, she is that terrible. just drop it now. It's not going to happen.
Save your money. Go on vacation.
It's fine. This is not going to be a thing. Although I have a lot of people who have told me I should have played guitar instead, but I think that's probably not accurate. Because again, I have, like, my fingers stretch very far apart, like, in a freakish kind of way, which nobody can see, but, like, I get, like, a really good spread, and musicians are like, why can you not play? And I because I'm just not, that doesn't work for me.
It's not quite.
No, it does not work for me at all. Oh, goodness. All right.
You know, just trying to get people in the know of the show. Jesus Christ Superstar starts. We start rehearsals on the 24th, which I'm very excited about. It's going to be a quick process.
Yes, it is.
As I always tell my students, bring your tablets.
Right.
Write the stuff down. We don't have time to go back.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Spend a little personal time. But it's, you know, it's the sustainability of a show. I think I was only off stage for a little while. I broke my ankle. Margot Sapperton choreographed a ballet called Zuzu Lounge. And there was a trampoline in it, and I jumped off the trampoline and broke my ankle. It was my first major injury, and, like, learning how to cope with, like, being injured and teaching myself how to come back and do all the right things to make it come back correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell students all the time, if you think this is supposed to be fun and easy, the fun and easy part is the 5 minutes you're on stage, but you rehearse 6 weeks for that whole five minutes, you know?
Yep.
Okay, so that's the fun part, but there's a lot of work that goes into this, and I'm looking forward to this because it feels like there's going to be a lot of work that goes into it, but I think that the people in the show are so ready for the challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've assembled an incredible... I mean, you know, obviously, there were a lot of aspects that made the music intensive that we did special and unique. Mm-hmm. But this group of humans with this show in particular, there's some... I mean, it's obviously, it's a universal story that sort of, you know, speaks to everyone. Whether you are a religious person or not, the core of the story and who these people are and what they represent in society and, you know, the fact that it's 50 years later, this is the 50th anniversary, and it's still so relevant, mm-hmm. In and of itself is a lot, but everybody's so committed to what they're doing, that it's, as I said, that you guys work for not even 48 hours together, maybe a total of 15 tops over the course of that intensive
week. Yeah.
And we could have sold tickets to the like read sing that we did. I mean, it was absolutely like, I was just weeping the whole time.
When we put the cast together that Saturday and mm-hmm. some people hadn't gotten to be there. And I remember Keenan Normal saying to me, "You sing?"
Yes, Keenan. A lot of people know that, though. I mean, a lot of people think, like, because they've seen you in drag and, mm-hmm. and think that you're lip-syncing, because that's kind of the standard, mm-hmm. even though it's clear that that's not what's happening. But I think a lot of people don't know that about you. Because that you're either a dancer or
And when I was doing opera stuff, I worked with Los Angeles Opera and Royal Opera of New Zealand and Dade County Opera. It's so funny when I separate my resume... that, oh, and by the way, I just happen to be a dancer for the Kent City Ballet.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, you're a dancer? Yeah, so what are you doing here? Well, I'm going to be singing. Wait a minute, why? Like, they didn't know what, like...
You do all the things?
What do you mean, why? Like,
that's the part I love about Kent City drag specifically, which I've never encountered it in another city as much as I feel like we have it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it happens, but the amount of drag performers that we have that do live singing
mm-hmm.
is something that I can't figure out why that seems to be unique to Kansas City. And I don't know if it's we demand more of our drag here because our theater scene is so big and there's a lot of crossover. But it's remarkable the amount. I actually don't really know that many queens that lip sync because mm-hmm. I know so many who sing mm-hmm. that I'm just like, well, why would you do that? And that's not to say that people don't have to lip sync sometimes, you know? But I look at like things like Drag Race and that kind of stuff and I'm just like, but why didn't none of you sing?
Yeah. And why don't they allow that to happen? I mean, the person that's saying lip sync for your lives has albums out.
Right. Right.
So I'm like,
whoa. Yeah, it's such a strange thing. It's such a strange thing. But, you know, I'm not sure what I believe about what Drag Race has done for the good of drag or the bad of drag, but...
I think... it's done a little bit of both. The mm-hmm. bad is it makes it seem like, oh, all I have to do is get on this show and then my drag career is set.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the bad things. Another bad thing is now everybody thinks they're an expert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm still, you know, learning makeup things from like Melinda Ryder and mm-hmm. Kurt Nelson and watching, you know, how they are in public and things like of that nature. But it's so weird that, you know, somebody who's just... able to turn 21 is like, I know this scene, and they come in and their faces are done.
Right.
Like, yeah, but it takes so much more than a beat face and, you know, and a wanting personality. There's a lot that goes into this craft, and it is a craft.
Oh, yeah.
It's just to sustain yourself making money, and there are several queens in this town that can do so, sustain themselves with just drag.
Yeah.
I am, again... not talented in ways of sewing or anything like that. So I'm always envious of people who can sit down and make their own costumes and do their own wigs. And I also come from a background where literally I used to walk into a theater and sit down in a chair and all that was done for me. And then when we stopped having makeup artists do certain things, you know, they would come for specialty ballets, but then other than that, you know, you had to learn how to do it yourself, or when you know, putting on your makeup for a Broadway show, which you just have to be a boy, which for me, cover up the dark circle under your eyes.
Right.
put on some lip gloss and let's call it a day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It is much different.
Yeah. And but I mean, the good thing is that it's made it, I want to say, more acceptable to just an everyday you know, person. Like, oh, do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's, but it's a weird thing because it's like, it feels like it's acceptable because it's on TV, but it's not. It's still weirdly not accepted to be like, and now I'm going to a drag bar. There are still so many people who, because of Isabel being a sister, we do, you know, a lot of activities in the community with an 8-year old that is strange. I mean, I remember having to go into Missy B's at like noon on a Sunday with a child, and I thought, this is, shouldn't be done in the daylight. This is weird for me. But it's because I've spent so much time there at a bar that I'm just like, I don't know if I want to look out these windows and see the sun.
Exactly.
It's like in the middle of the day and I'm with a child, and that's weird. But people still find it strange. Yeah.
That was the old New York partying days. Like, oh, we're going to go. It's Sunday night off. No, Monday we have off, and we have Sunday night off. So let's go out to dinner. Let's, a few of us would get together and go out to dinner. And then that dinner would turn into drinks at some bar. And then the drinks at another bar. And then next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, let's go to this bar. And then all day Monday, you're like, ah. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I see way too many high notes to be I will go out to dinner. And I will see you Tuesday.
I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Well, I think we've hit the questions portion of this. Not that one. Oh. Those are for a different thing. You got to also do some promotion for Superstar after this. That one's video. This one's just audio. Courtney doesn't do video. She can avoid it. These are the ridiculous, you know, actor studio questions. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So, you're a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Well, that sort of gilded, reddish, goldy color, I want to say, you know, that weird color. And it's just because it's an edger, it's an outliner to help somebody come in and fill in the other spaces.
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. Okay, let's see. What is the closest thing to real magic?
My nephew, Winston.
Oh, is he the chunk?
Oh,
oh God, he's so cute.
I can't even take him.
No, he's so cute. He's just, you just want to squeeze his cheeks all the time. All the time. Oh yeah, he's pretty adorable. Okay, where would you live if not here?
I'd go back to Nice, France, where I lived for about 9 months. Or I'd go back to New York. And Chicago's not bad. Wintertime.
Yeah, no. In the winter. Nope. Okay, let's see. What was the last gift you gave someone?
Well, that's a hard... it's probably been Christmas. No, my babies get things. My niece and nephews get things for their birthday, so I would say it would be Dory's birthday gift. It was like a doll in a bag.
Okay.
Fair.
Okay, what are the best and worst purchases you've ever made?
Best purchases? I would say my husband's wedding ring was one of the best purchases I've gotten. And, then worst purchases? Oh, that's a hard one.
That's normally the one people... It's interesting. You must be more of an optimist than most of our people, because most of the time people remember their worst, but they have no idea what their best was.
Well, it's because people don't go and do their studying. Like, before I buy something, I've gone into the store to look at that. I've made sure that I've prayed on it and looked at, do I really want this? Because it's not something to me having if I'm going to wear it one time. Like,
that's true.
So I tend not to make the worst purchases of all time because of that. I've studied and looked at and made sure, and I put together an outfit, and then, you know, and sometimes because of that hesitancy, I've missed out on the product that I wanted. Like, oh, they don't have it, it's my fault.
Well, all right.
You know, wasn't meant to be.
Fair enough. Okay. Let's do some rapid fire. Okay. Favorite food?
Tacos.
That's good. Favorite word?
Just word in general. Recapitulate.
Oh, that's a good one. Favorite body part of yours or someone else's? Or just like of, you know, the human body.
I'd say my favorite body part used to be my butt, because it used to be much higher.
It's still pretty good.
And so I'm going to say my butt, but for, in general, I like happy bodies. I don't care what it is. I mean, just mm-hmm. you can be big, small, tall, whatever. Just be happy and in your own skin, and don't mm-hmm. let people tell you otherwise, you know, because people get so much body dysmorphia and how you feel about yourself, and so people are so wrapped up in their bodies, and I am as well, because, I mean, I spent 40 years looking at it in a mirror all day, sure. or being in front of people. I mean, I grew up in front of an audience, like went from a little boy that they used to see in Nutcracker to a muscular kid to a chunky kind of mid-adult to finally, you know, whatever mm-hmm. my body settled into. So, yeah, I just, whenever people are happy in their body, that's what I'm happy.
That's fair. Favorite song?
God, there's so many. Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
That's a good
Diana
one.
Diana Ross version.
Favorite holiday?
Let's see. I love New Year's Eve because it's the beginning of, it's supposed to be the beginning of something new, but mm-hmm. I would say New Year's Eve is my favorite holiday.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Okay, let's see. What problem or situation did TV or movies make you think would be a much bigger deal in real life?
I would say, since I didn't go to a normal high school, I'm always curious with Aaron. I'm like, so how did that work in school? So I was, like, high school movies always seem like, you know, there's the Butch, the in crowd mm-hmm. and the jock and the cheerleader, and you know, all high school movies make me think that high school was like this really insane microcosm. And then, you know, I substitute taught for a little while, and I was like, oh, kids are just assholes, and yes. you have to be a bigger one to stomp all that in the ground right away. So I think high school movies, I was like, oh, this is gonna be awesome, and you get to high school, you're like, oh,
that's terrible. I get you on that. If you were a superhero, what would your power be?
Invisibility,
yeah.
You know, because I love the expression, if I could be a fly on that wall.
Mm-hmm. All right, well then, in that case, if you're invisible for 24 hours, what do you do with your time?
Ooh. First I'd go and sit in some of those halls of Congress to figure out what the hell is going on with those people.
True story.
And then I'd sit in on a phone call between 45 and Russia. No, I'm just kidding. just to figure out what's happening in this country.
Right. What's going on? Who knows anymore? Well, we're changing the Statue of Liberty poem. I can't slam my head into this microphone, but that's exactly what I'd like to do.
Yeah, I was like, are we allowed to do that? I mean, it's been this way for
200 years.
Can't make it through.
Well, here's what I'm hoping is that France is just like, yo, we need our statue back. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the holding on to it for 200 years, but you don't deserve it anymore.
No, no. Mm. As Stephen Miller rubbed his hands like Smithers. Like he's like,
yeah, it's been a rough week in the country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a true story. All right, so if you could travel, I don't have this question written down right now, but I had it at one point. Would you rather travel back to the 1900s for a day or to the 2900s for a day?
That's difficult because you, technically, I want to go to the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, to 2900 to see what ever that I did, what impact it may have had in some space or time, mm-hmm. or see if there's anything that people went, oh, you know, this is what I remember from him or her or mm-hmm. at that period. So I'd go forward, but I wouldn't mind going back to see, like, again, what the hell is wrong with this country?
Right. The list goes on. It certainly has been happening for quite some time.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's our hour.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? It always goes so fast, and I'm like, what's happening? All right, next week, we'll be back with Corey, and you can get your hello, hello, hellos, and all of his wonderful anecdotes when he returns from the Disneyland and the California. I'm not 100% sure who we have on, perhaps Miss Erin Bates. We're going to be doing the next series of episodes will all be dedicated to Superstar, which opens on September 21st or 22nd. We have previews starting the 19th. We close on October 12th. We'll all be at Hamburger Mary's next week on the 21st of August. Please come and join us for all the things. And, yeah, we'll talk next week.
You do not want to miss this show. You don't want to be the person to miss the show that everybody's talking about.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome. And don't do the Kansas City thing and wait till the last weekend.
No, buy your tickets now. Go on to the website. It's theartsofsound.org/JCSKC. You can get your tickets there. You know, all the good stuff. Follow us along on Facebook and Instagram. I'm sure that it's going to be crazy once rehearsal starts. Yay. Awesome. All right. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.